You are listening to the BC Lions Den Podcast, a proud member of the Canadian Football Podcast Network.
CFL fans, welcome to episode 127 of the BC Lions Den.ca podcast, brought to you in part by AngusReed64.com. Visit AngusReed64.com if you're looking for a speaker for your next event and see what former BC Lions player Angus Reid can do for you. Make sure to check out his new book, Thank You Coach, as well on Amazon.ca and Amazon.com for anyone listening in the United States. I'm your host, Brian Wawrishin, and I want to thank you for downloading and subscribing to the show, which is, of course, a member of the Canadian Football Podcast Network. The BC Lions season came to a resounding end last Sunday against the Hamilton Tiger Cats. The Leels were no match for their feline cousins and got trounced 48-8, ending their season and throwing them into an offseason that will be filled with questions and that will reverberate right through the organization. So tonight we're going to look at some of those questions. We're going to hear from some of the players and Ed Hervey from yesterday's locker room cleanout. We're going to discuss what's ahead for the Lions as the Ed Hervey era officially begins. Let's bring in Mojo Kemp now. And man, I know you went to the Remembrance Day ceremonies on Sunday. I texted you at some point to tell you not to rush home. So I hope I did you a favor. Just an ugly, ugly game last week, and the Lions are done for the year, Mojo.
Hey, everybody. Hey, Brian. Thanks for downloading the show, folks. Yeah, it's, man, it was true. I was at Remembrance Day, Brian. We had a lovely Sunday. There was lots of people. I turned off the notifications on my phone. I turned off CFL. I turned off TSN. And I felt that buzz go off. And I pulled it out. And I looked. And it was you. Don't rush home to see the game. And I went, ah, no. Oh, man. I was pretty bummed out. I got home. And I turned it on. And I saw Travis Lule throw a pick six.
Game over right there.
I turned the game off.
Game really over right there.
I turned the game off and went back to watching my war shows that I do at this time of year over and over again, same old shows. But, yeah, Brian, man, nothing we can say. What can you say? What can you say? Thank you, Wally, I guess is about all we can say.
Yeah, thank you, Wally, and for a great career. But, man, you know, for the past couple of past couple times the Lions have been in the playoffs, they've gotten blown out, and I really thought that the Lions were going to compete in that game. I mean, what is there to really talk about that game except for calling it a huge letdown? But I was just gutted at halftime. You know, looking forward to that game, really thought the Lions had a chance to win, but Wally Bono's final game is going to go down as the worst playoff defeat in BC Lions history.
Yeah, sort of, it's kind of smack of irony, doesn't it, Brian? You know, the Lions the last few years have been sort of toothless. And every time, and this is not the first time we've crossed over in the last few years, and every time we think, all right, this is going to be the easy way across. Let's cross over. And every year we get our ass kicked.
Yeah, and you know, offense, defense, special teams, it didn't matter what phase of the game you're talking about. The Lions had the Ticats pinned deep on the opening kickoff, facing a second and long. Jeremiah Mazzoli finds Braylon Addison near midfield. I think it was about a 40-yard pass. They drive the field and score. Then on the Lions' first drive, Lule fumbles. the ball while trying to evade pressure. Ty Cats recover it and score again. It was all downhill from there. You know, we talked about running the football, and, you know, the Lions' first series, they start passing the football, not trying to establish that run, and it cost them.
Yeah, and, you know, Brian, I was sort of prophetic there for a little while when I said last show that, you know, when the last time the Lions faced an unknown receiving corps, they torched us.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like it happened again.
Yeah, Braylon Addison had a really good game in the final Ticats game of the season, you know, and over 100 yards, and he had 77, but by the time the first quarter was over. So, you know, Josh Smith talked about him last week when we had him on the show, and he certainly had a big game, but, you know, not like it would have mattered and not like we're even in the slightest way making excuses. But what were your thoughts on that first Ticat touchdown, Mojo? Because I felt like there was one replay that showed that Dane Evans' elbow was down before that fumble had occurred. It kind of looked like he had thrown it in the end zone as well, but the league felt otherwise. That would have been a big goal line stand that turns into a touchdown and puts the Lions in a hole right away.
Yeah, like you mentioned, I mean, you know, the odds are against a goal line stand, but at least any odd is better than no odds. I thought he was down. He looked down to me. I only saw it in replays, so I didn't actually see it live happening, but he looked down to me. You know, I was always under the impression the ground can't cause a fumble. Well, his elbow hits the ground and the ball comes out, that's the ground causing a fumble.
Yeah, there was one replay that showed it right from the front looking at him coming into the end zone, and his elbow was definitely down. I guess the call on the field was a touchdown, and I guess the league didn't feel there was enough evidence from the angles that they saw. But regardless, it wouldn't have made a difference, I don't think. Who knows? The Lions might have got fired up there and done something, but they would have been pinned on their 1 or 2 yard line anyway. So who knows what would have happened after that. But anyway, that's just crying over spilt milk. And, you know, the Lions certainly did not deserve anything in that game the way they played. You know, I think we should acknowledge the play of Jeremiah Mazzoli, who came into that game with one thing on his mind, and that was to dominate, and dominate he did. You know, last week I chose Bo Levi as my league MOP between the two of them. They're both finalists for the award, but after watching that and knowing my vote isn't counted, so I can change my mind, I think I might revise that to Mazzoli. He was spectacular on Sunday.
Yeah, it always seems like the guys, and we've talked about this year, where, you know, Mazzoli seems to run hot and cold, and he seems to run that way with the fans as well, because there's a lot of people in Hamilton that just get on this guy. But, you know, let's face it, he was something special, at least on Sunday anyway.
Yeah, his level of compete was way higher, and Wally Bono talked about that too. You know, you can't win playoff games unless you bring your game to another level, and you know, he said that the Ticats did that. We didn't. So, you know, we also talked about going into the playoffs on a losing roll. And I know both teams were coming in off consecutive losses. But, you know, maybe the Ticats being at home was the difference. Maybe Ric Flair being there and getting them pumped up before the game was the difference. But clearly, the Ticats were at a different level than the Lions last week.
Yeah, and it's surprising. You think there would be no trouble coming out fired up for a playoff game.
Yeah. So, you know, screw talking about the game. It doesn't matter. The season's over. What we need to do now is look at where this team goes from here. And yesterday we heard from several of the key players and management figures on what comes next. And while it's early in the process, there's no shortages of questions. On one hand, you're disappointed with the way the season ended. On the other hand, you have to be excited that there are some pieces in place now that you can kind of get to see what Ed Hervey can do in year two here with those pieces and continue to build on that.
Oh, yeah. Well, we have no choice but to be excited for next year. Otherwise, we're just going to be glum all the way till next year. And that won't do, Brian. We're not here to be glum here on the podcast, right? So, hey, you know what? I'm excited by I'm just a little scared with, you know, going our first steps without Wally, but we always knew it was going to come. And so let's, you know what, let's choose to be excited. Let's choose to be fired up. Ed Hervey's a guy that gets out there and does stuff.
But let's start by taking a look at the most important issue facing Ed Hervey, and that is who is going to replace Wally Bono, and by extension, the future of the rest of the coaching staff as well. yesterday at his end of the season address. Hervey stressed the new coach will have CFL pedigree when asked how far his search would go.
No. I'm going to. It's going to be a CFL guy. I believe that. You know, we cut our teeth in this league for these opportunities. You know, everyone's different in who they choose. I feel like, you know, there's guys who have in this league that have committed to this league and deserve the opportunity to, you know, grow in this league. I'm sure there's a lot of good coaches down south. I know there are a lot of good coaches down south. But, you know, I'm an example of getting your opportunity and trying to make the most of it. I feel that the coaches who will be interested in this position internally and externally are guys that are coming from the CFL. I think you know, we're a unique fraternity of some sort. But, you know, that's how I'm wired. You cut your teeth as a CFL assistant coach, manager, whatever the case may be, that when these opportunities open up, at least how I see it, I want to give it to someone who's cut their teeth and gone through the struggles that we've gone through in our league.
So obviously Ed Hervey's going to do his due diligence, and it sounds like there will be someone currently in the league that has paid their dues, likely a current coordinator, whether that's someone in-house like Mark Washington or somebody from another club such as Devon Claybrooks in Calgary or Orlando Steinhauer, who has put in a lot of years in this league and is an assistant head coach in Hamilton this year. I do get the sense, Mojo, he wants a younger, up-and-coming coach and someone who can, you know, grow with him to build this team.
Yeah, you gotta like the CFL tenure option that he's looking for. You know, I can't see it being Mark Washington, Brian.
No.
You know, I can. It's got to be a clean. He's got to be Ed Hervey's guy. So and there's no way it's going to be Mark Washington.
He'll get an interview, but out of courtesy, I'm sure. But I don't really see him getting the job. You know, you looked at his defense this year, and while it certainly made some strides and was strong at certain points in the season, you look at the last 3 weeks, and there were some serious breakdowns in that defense. So I don't, you know, Mark Washington's a guy who's certainly done his time, and I think if he doesn't get the job here, we could be looking for a defensive coordinator anyway. With a new head coach coming in, he'll want to have his own people. So it might be the end for Mark Washington here if he doesn't get the job. And like you said, and I agree with you that he will not get that job. But Hervey said on 3Down Radio last night that he has a short list of guys that he'll begin to speak with as soon as Grey Cup is over and he's allowed to speak with them. So don't be surprised if there's an announcement shortly after the season is over. I think this is something that, you know, the team would like to get in place as quickly as possible. You know, obviously after getting their new head coach, they will need to decide which coordinators stay and that will be up to the new coach. Jarius Jackson still has another year left on his deal, but I don't think anyone is raving about his offense this year. We talked about Mark Washington, but, you know, then there's guys like Dan D'Orazio, who was tightly linked to Wally, and you have to wonder whether he may call it a day or if he would be brought back. Randy Melvin did a good job with the defensive line this year and Jeff Reinbold is a pretty solid special teams coach. But again, this is all going to be up to whatever coach the Lions hire.
Do you think they're going to go with a new head coach? Like a head coach who's never been a head coach before?
Yeah, when you listen to that clip, I think, you know, Ed talked about guys that pay their dues and rewarding those guys for committing themselves to the CFL. And, you know, they understand the CFL game and you know, he pointed to himself and said, you know, somebody gave me an opportunity one time and, you know, that's why I'm here today. So I think he's leaning towards finding a coordinator off another team that he thinks is ready to take the next step and be a head coach. You know, he talked about in his press conference yesterday about talking to people all the time when they go on the road. He talks to opposing players. He talks to opposing managers. You know, what do you think about this guy? What do you think about that guy? So he's got his list of guys, and he said it's not a long one. He's going to talk to maybe five or six people, and he's got certain questions that he wants to ask, and, you know, just to see, you know, what kind of fit they're going to be. You know, he also referenced the fact that this coach, any new coach, is going to have to be willing to talk to the media and willing to, you know, engage with the fans, because that's important as well. But obviously the football side of things is the most important, but you know, I think he's going to do his due diligence, and he's got a list of guys, and hopefully he gets the guy that is at the top of that list. Next order of business will, of course, be to address who the quarterback of this team will be, and it's widely thought the Lions will make a hard pitch for Mike Riley if they get the opportunity to do so. I've said multiple times in the last few weeks that I think he'll be back in Edmonton. But, you know, we can hope, and the same goes for Bo Levi Mitchell, who I can't see leaving Calgary. Trevor Harris will be tough to pry out of Ottawa. If Hervey strikes out here, then you're looking to second-tier guys like James Franklin in Toronto, who may not be in their plans, but has a relationship with Hervey. But realistically, I don't think there's any way they come back with Jennings and Lule. So finding a guy in a free agency is going to be pretty critical, Mojo.
Yeah, they're going to definitely going to have to find somebody. You know, because there's no way Travis can come back, at least as a starter anyway.
Yeah, and Travis, you know, talked yesterday about being depleted and how he's going to need some time to assess his future. You know, whether that means continuing to play or looking to move into a coaching role, whether that be here or elsewhere, you know, he's going to take some time. And that's what he talked about yesterday in the Lions locker room cleanout day.
Still feels really fresh. Obviously, still hurts to come to an abrupt end like that. I mean, this day is never fun. But, you know, it's about responding and moving forward.
Is it harder that it ended the way it did?
I mean, this day's hard regardless. Nobody likes, you know, getting your butt kicked, but you lose and you're out of the tournament. And, you know, the goal of, you know, trying to win a championship is just, you know, it dies quickly. So, yeah, I mean, that's obviously disappointing, and it's just not the way we hoped to end it.
You've ended the season upright. You know, you went through all the injuries during, and you started the final game of the season. Is it too early for you to say that you want to continue playing, or do you think you still want to play next year?
Well, I've said that every year the last few years, and it's been genuine that I have to sit down and think about that, right? You know, it does take a toll, you know, putting all that extra time and energy and effort into just being on the field. So, you know, right now, energy levels are depleted. I mean, I really left it all out there, and I know a lot of guys feel that way. It's just at the end of the year, you're just, you know, you're kind of sunk down, and it takes some time to regain any energy to make those types of decisions.
No real surprises here, Mojo. Lule's future is uncertain, and he'll take the time he needs to decide what's next for him. He is a free agent. I think I would be okay with Lule being a backup here if we were able to get someone like Mike Riley, but I don't think this team can go with him as the starter any longer.
No, I don't think so, and you know, I think Lule being a backup would actually be enticing to Mike Riley because, you know, they're buddies, right? So, yeah. But there's no way that both Lule and Jennings can be here. I think Jennings' time, you know, like Franklin in Toronto, and please don't bring Franklin here. you know, his time, he may need to go somewhere. He's got to go somewhere else to, you know, to further his career. I think I don't think he's the guy here.
Well, and it's not only because of the play of the quarterbacks, it's because of the fan base. You know, the fan base needs to see some reason to get excited about this team again. So, you know, going out and getting a Mike Riley would be just the thing that they need to do that. And, you know, so there's football reasons and there's non-football reasons, I think. And, you know, Jennings, of course, was called out by Ed Hervey earlier this season. And while the two chatted and worked things out, his days are as a Lion are likely done. So again, he wouldn't be a bad option as a backup because I thought he played pretty well coming off the bench over the last few weeks. And I know that's different than starting games when you're down by 34 points or whatever they were down when he came in the game. Defenses tend to relax a little bit. But, you know, I think he played some pretty good football in the last 3 weeks in spelling off Lule. But I'd be surprised if he's back. So really, if both are gone, you need two QBs. You know, you need a starter and a backup with some experience. I don't know what they think of Ricky Lloyd. We didn't see him play any meaningful snaps this year. Here are some comments from Jennings yesterday, and our friend Farhan Lalji asked Jonathan how frustrating this year was for him personally.
Strange year for you on a lot of levels in terms of your status within the organization, stuff with you and Ed, the whole thing that went down. Just have you had a chance to kind of figure out what you want going forward?
Yeah, you know, it's just been a lot. It's been a lot this whole season, and the word that keeps resonating with me is just digesting, you know, just kind of digesting all that's happened. And obviously the loss is fresh. That's really the biggest thing on my mind right now. But moving forward, you know, we'll talk about things and figure out what we want exactly.
I know that at points, though, when things like that had happened, you must have at some point thought about what the future would look like. Do you think a change is good for Jonathan Jennings?
Yeah, you know, I wouldn't say that necessarily, but, you know, whatever's supposed to happen is going to happen. And like you said, there's been a lot that's happened. There's been a lot of change, been a lot of, you know, crazy thing that's happened this year. But that's kind of what happens each year. You go through a lot, situations change, and, you know, it's just tough.
So Jennings talks about how tough a year it was. He says he's going to need time to digest everything that happened this year. It was certainly a frustrating year for him. You know, last year was frustrating because he was labeled as the next starter of this team. This year he's clearly reduced to a backup role. You know, so really, Mojo, Ed Hervey may not be looking for just one quarterback, but an experienced backup as well.
Well, you'd want to hear a young guy like that being disappointed and frustrated with being demoted, because that's what he was. He, you know, he had the brass ring and he couldn't hold on to it, from what I recall, Brian, from last year. If we're still talking about last year. So it's just going to, what do you think of trying to pry Strevler out of Winnipeg?
Well, I think it would be tough to get him out of there, for one. I don't think he's a big enough name that you could throw him in there as your starter quite yet. And I don't think he's got a big enough body of work. He basically comes in on certain packages and he's very good at those packages. But, you know, when he's forced to throw the ball, he's definitely no Mike Riley yet. I think he's got a lot of the similar qualities as Mike Riley. You know, he's tough. He's not afraid of contact. He's very aggressive when he takes off with the ball. And, you know, but I don't think that that would be an answer for a starter, maybe a backup, but I don't see him moving to be a backup somewhere else when he's probably pretty happy in Winnipeg.
He's going to give the NFL another shot anyway, probably.
Who, Strevler?
Yeah.
I don't think he would get much of a look down south based on his body work this year anyway, but he's probably under contract anyway, so... you know, after the quarterback, it's anyone's guess who's going to be back. Hervey said yesterday, when asked about the new CBA and the impact it will have on getting guys signed, you know, he made a valid point in saying that outside of your big ticket players, most guys are not going to see a substantial pay increase in the CBA. So he feels like he'll be able to get some work done despite the upcoming negotiations. And we saw that 2 weeks ago when he extended Davon Coleman. And he's also inked Jordan Herdman today to an extension. Who wouldn't be a free agent, but they've signed him to an extension. So clearly there'll be some players that, you know, the CBA is not going to impact them very much. When you look at the quarterbacks and the offensive linemen and those types of positions, those are the guys that are going to see most of the pay bumps in any new CBA. So Lions have a very long list of free agents. We'll go over that in a second here, but Hervey doesn't think the new CBA negotiations will affect the majority of the free agents on his list.
Well, you don't know till the thing's signed, right? And you go in thinking, oh, this is going to be a no-brainer to sign this contract, and you never know what happens until the contract is signed. So you can see why they have so many free agents, Brian. But I'm really happy that they extended Coleman and Herdman. I think these are two young guys that we can invest in going forward.
Yeah, there's a lot of work to do. Lowell Ulrich posted a list of pending Lions free agents, and it's a long one. It includes almost entire position groups in some spots, like the whole starting secondary, 18 players on offense, 13 on defense, and 3 on special teams. But let's go over some of the names on the list here. Brian Burnham on offense, Ricky Collins, Cody Fajardo, Joel Figueroa, Chris Graves, Cody Husband, John Jennings, Jeremiah Johnson, Travis Lule, Wayne Moore, Jovan Olafoye, Chris Rainey, Hunter Stewart, Corey Watson, Shaq Johnson, Manny Arsenault, Brandon Rutley, Anthony Parker, and I think Lowell left off Devere Posey because, if I remember correctly, he just signed a deal for the rest of the season. On defense, you've got Mikal Awi, Otha Foster, TJ Lee, Sean Lemon, Bo Lacumbo, Ivan McLennan, Anthony Orange, Gary Peters, Winston Rose, Anthony Thompson, Odell Willis, Max Ford, Dominic Termanson. On special teams, you have Mitch Barnett, Deshaun Davis, and Ty Long. So that's a pretty long list, Mojo, and that's more than half the team that Ed's got to decide who these core guys are. He talked about identifying a core group of guys out of the current locker room and to build the team around those guys. So obviously some of these guys are going to be made a priority to sign. Who jumps out at you on this list, Mojo?
Oh, wow. That's a lot of guys, man. Well, I would, if I had to start signing guys, I think on the offense, I'd be signing Brian Burnham.
Yep.
Joel Figueroa, I'd be signing him back. Cody Husband would come back. Then this is why I suck at fantasy football, everybody. assuming he was going to take a come back as in a backup role, I would bring Travis Lule back. You know, Jeremiah Johnson, it depends what you if you're planning to go with Sutton, then you're probably letting Jeremiah Johnson go. I think Chris Rainey's probably going to go. I'm not sure about Manny. I don't know about Manny. Is Manny done being Manny? Or is Manny Manny now? I don't know. I don't know. It depends, I guess, on what Brian Burnham did. I think on the other side of the ball, I would look at signing Mika Awe. I thought Otha Foster played strong. TJ Lee played strong. You guys all know I love Bola Kumbo. You know, guys like Sean Lemon, Odell Willis, you always got, you know, I mean, I'm not sure how old those guys are. Maybe you only look at bringing back one of those guys.
Yeah.
The other dudes, Orange, Peters, Rose, Thompson, I don't know. Maybe, I don't know, right? And that's the problem is you just don't know. And I would definitely bring Ty Long back.
Yeah, I think he's probably going to audition for some NFL teams, so it might be a while before we see him back here if he comes back. But I would agree, Brian Burnham is a must sign. Joel Figueroa, of course, had a very solid year. Some of these guys on this list that I don't think are going to be back, I don't think Jeremiah Johnson will be back. I think that if Ed Hervey was happy with him as a running back, he wouldn't have gone out and gotten, you know, the Brandon Rutleys and the Tyrell Sutton. So, I don't think Jovan Olafoye is going to be back. I think David Neville, their draft pick from this past draft, I think they're pretty high on him, and I think he'll be ready to make the jump, when training camp comes around next year. Ed Hervey even mentioned Brett Boyko's name, who may decide to finally come to the BC Lions next year if he can't find a home in the NFL. He's not eligible for any practice rosters in the NFL anymore, so if he still wants to play football, it's going to have to be in BC. Hunter Stewart is a guy I would bring back. Manny, like you say, I don't know what's going to happen with Manny. He's getting up there in age now. He's had some pretty significant injuries, but we all know that Manny's a beast when it comes to the gym, and I'm sure he'll be, I'm not even sure he'll be ready for training camp with the injury that he has. It's going to be very interesting on offense. Devere Posey is another guy who I would like to try and bring back for a full season and see what he can do in this offense for a full season. On defense, Otha Foster, TJ Lee, Bola Kumbo, like you said, Anthony Orange, I think had a strong season. Winston Rose, I thought, had a very good season as well and made some strides after taking over for Marcel Young. Anthony Thompson's a Canadian, so you'd like to get him back as well. Odell Willis and Sean Lemon, I think you're right. I think maybe one of those guys comes back, and I think it'll probably be Sean Lemon, just because Odell's a little older, I think, and I'm not sure what's going to happen there. So special teams, I think we're going to be looking for a new kick returner. I think Chris Rainey's going to be gone and probably going to be looking for a kicker at least to start the season. So, you know, he talked about identifying a core group of guys out of the current locker room. So obviously some of these guys are going to be made a priority, and we'll see what happens going forward here and how quickly they can get some of these guys signed, if we see some signings before the CBA or the majority of them wait to see what happens with the new CBA. Then there's also guys that are under contract, like Solomon Elamimian. Will he be back? Traded? Released? He's been the heart and soul here for a long time, but he doesn't come cheap, and this wrist injury is a bit of a mystery. You know, can he get back to 100%? You know, it's also said that Ed likes to spend his money on the line of scrimmage and a quarterback, so he may feel he can stock the linebacking core with younger and cheaper options. It's a tough call for Ed Hervey. It's a tough call for the fans, because you saw Solly's value even when he was injured this year. He's popular in that room. He's popular in the city. He's a leader, and he's 100% committed to a winning culture here. If he stays healthy, he has a lot to offer, Mojo.
Well, yeah. I mean, nobody wants to see Solly go. Let's just make that clear right now. Would he have value if you traded him? Certainly. you know, we've seen Solly come back from injury. We've seen him come back from his Achilles, and he came back 100%. So until he can't come back 100%, he comes back 100%, and he's Solly. And nobody bled more black and orange on the sideline than Solly did. So, like, you know, this is a year of big change, but the fans got to have something to hold on to. If there's no more Wally, if there's no more Travis Lule, if there's no more Manny Arsenault, you can't get rid of Solly as well, because Ed Hervey's face doesn't bring people to the game.
Yeah, well, I think it depends what they do in free agency. You know, Ed said he's going to be very aggressive when it comes to free agency this year. I think that was an unveiled comment directed towards Mike Riley and the Edmonton Eskimos, but I don't think that's going to happen. But you know, it's certainly going to be an interesting offseason. Wally is gone, and yesterday it was tough to watch as Wally Buono got emotional and quite humble when he was asked about his legacy here. He just answered the question, you know, why me? And then broke down into tears. He talked about being blessed as someone who came from a simple background and things have gone his way. But you could tell this is tougher for him than he's letting on. For the majority of his life, football has been a major focal point of it. And, you know, I think that really hit him yesterday.
Yeah, as it would. I mean, I haven't been doing anything for that long. So I feel, you know, I can feel where Wally's coming from, folks, because, you know, I lost some stuff in my battle this year with the big C that haven't come back fully. So, you know, I don't know if like my singing voice is going to come all the way back. So I know what Wally is suddenly, you had something and now it's gone. I get it. And it's tough. No matter whether it was time to go or not, it's still tough.
Yeah, I think it's tough on him, but I think a lot of it was, too, that, you know, this has all been building up, and I just think he was humbled by it all. I think that, you know, he saw all the love that these people were giving him, and, you know, like he said, why me? Well, Wally will tell you why. You're a class act, and you came to this city and saved this football team, and you had a lot of winning years here, two Grey Cups, and you know, it just comes down to the man you are. And, you know, I think Wally deserves everything that he's gotten and everything that he's got coming to him in the future. And it was certainly pretty emotional, not only for Wally, but a lot of the fans that were watching that as well. I know Susie teared up a little bit watching it on the news last night. So, yeah, it's the end of an era for sure. I think once Wally has some time to digest it all, maybe in a year or two, we'll try and get him on the show to, you know, see what he's been up to and coax some stories out of him. But again, we wish him nothing but the best. Another big question that could come up this season is the ownership of the team. And Wally Buono told Ed Willis of the Province last week that he thought it was time David Brayley sold the team. He met with Brayley at his home last week, but didn't elaborate on their conversation. If you've listened to us the last couple of years, we are pro sale on this podcast. With all due respect to Mr. Brayley, local ownership is needed. And I think Wally was bang on that there's nothing more Brayley can do here, given his age, his health, and where he lives.
Yeah, it's again, this is, you know, this is a sad thing too, man, because I met David Brayley at Grey Cup 1 year and I shook his hand and I thanked him for saving the team.
Yep.
And now it's like, yeah, man, it's time to sell the team, Mr. Brayley, and time to let go of it. But yeah, something's needed, Brian. And if it's local ownership, then that's what it is. The Lions got to do something. Because they're sinking fast. They're sinking in attendance out here, and something needs to be done.
Yeah, and you know, last night on Three Down Radio again, they were talking, you know, about this situation. They mentioned a couple of names, Maury Keith and Mark Woodall, who have been after the Lions for quite a while now, and you know, they just haven't been able to get Brayley to agree to sell it. But those would be two pretty solid potential owners, both heavily rooted into the community, both big BC Lions fans. I know they're both members of the Water Boys, and you know, they're real passionate about CFL football and in particular the Lions. So there are people out there that are willing to buy it. It's just getting Brayley to come up with his price. And you know, I do think that David Brayley likes to own the BC Lions, and a lot of people have said that. And you know, he likes the prestige that comes with it. He goes to the Board of Governors meetings and has a chair there and has a say at what happens in this league. And he's had that for a long time. So, you know, just like Wally Bono giving up coaching, I'm sure this is a tough decision for Mr. Braley. And, you know, like you, I'm very grateful to him. But, you know, there's no question that the time has come. We need local ownership here for sure.
From a business point of view, you got to be thinking that the Lions are dropping in value.
Yeah, well, they certainly have since all this sale talk first started a few years ago. You know, I think he probably could have got a lot more for them, say, 5-6 years ago than he's going to get for them now. You know, there were a couple of Grey Cups in there where he made a pretty good penny off of those. And, you know, I think that, you know, certainly the franchise is worth less today than it was 5 years ago. So, you know, maybe he'll take that into consideration as well. But, you know, given his health and where he lives, you know, Wally Bono did say his health has improved, but, you know, he is in his 70s and, you know, he lives in Hamilton. He's not able to travel easily anymore because of his health. So that's why we haven't seen him at any games out here. You know, I just think it's time. If you're the owner of a professional football team, I think you need to have a pulse of the city that the team resides in. And I don't think he has that anymore. And, you know, there's certainly guys that are willing and able to take this team and who have those connections in the business community and in the city. So we'll see what happens, but it's the ongoing story, and I'm sure it's going to keep going as we progress through this offseason, what's going to happen with Braley and the BC Lions. So, Mojo, what are your thoughts on this team? Where are they headed?
Well, like I said earlier in the show, Brian, we got two ways we can look at things, folks, going forward. We can be disappointed in how it ended, or we can be excited at a whole new era of BC Lions football. And that's what I'm choosing to do, Brian. I'm going to be excited about next year. I think we got some decent pieces in place. Let's just assume that the guys we want on the free agency list sign, because we don't know. It'll probably all the news will come out tomorrow after we record that everybody signed.
Yeah.
But I just think there's just so much unknown. New coach. You know they're going to bring in new coordinators, new quarterbacks, new everything, new owners. Wow. It's an exciting time to be a BC Lions fan.
It's certainly not going to be a dull offseason, that's for sure. But I'm with you. I'm excited, mainly because we have a good man at top. And I think Ed Hervey is probably one of the best guys that we could have hired here to transition from Wally Bono to a new era of BC Lions football. And I think Ed's the man. I think he's the guy that's going to get this done. It may not happen next year. It might be the year after. But, you know, I think he's got the right idea of making this a place that people want to play football. And hopefully, you know, he can coax some pretty high profile guys to come and join the BC Lions and get this thing rolling. I think he'll make the right decisions when, you know, he decides who the core of this team is. And, you know, a lot depends on free agency, of course. You know, we can't go into next season with Jennings and Lule. It's just not going to work. It's not going to sell tickets. You know, and no disrespect to those guys, especially Travis Lule, who has given his heart and soul to this team. But, you know, I think we have to go in a different direction there. And I'm just excited. I think Ed Hervey's going to do a great job, and I'm excited to see what he can do with it. All right, well, let's take a look at the division finals now before we wrap this show up. Hamilton heads to Ottawa, and in this game, I'm having a little trouble with it, Mojo. Were the Ticats that good last week, or were the Lions really that bad? I kind of think it's somewhere in between. You know, Ottawa swept the Ticats this year. They're at home and rested after their bye week. Hamilton will be coming in with a lot of confidence off of last week. Who do you like in the East final, Mojo?
Well, like you say, Brian, it's a tough call. It's a tough call, but, you know, my love for Janin aside, Ottawa has broken my heart all year long in Pick'em for years now. And I don't want to think that the Lions are so bad that the team that spanked us just got spanked by somebody else. So I think I'm going to go with the Ticats on this one.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying about Ottawa. Every time I pick them, they choke, and every time I don't pick them, they dominate. So I'm not quite sure what to do with this game. I think I'm going to have to lean with the Ticats as well. Well, it doesn't matter. There's nothing on the line here.
The kiss of death worship.
There's nothing on the line here. I think that they're coming in on some pretty high momentum, and I think sometimes that bye week can set you back a little bit, and we'll see what happens, how the Red Blacks handle it. But I expect the Ticats to come in confident. I think they're going to start that game very quickly, and it's going to be up to Ottawa to see if they can keep up to that pace. But in the West Final, I said two shows ago that I thought the Bombers were playing the best football of any team heading into the playoffs. Going into Regina to win a playoff game is a tall order, and they did that by running the ball with authority in the second half. Now they have to face a Calgary team where the Stamps are always tough at home. They've had a week to work on their game after getting some of their groove back against the Lions in the final week of the season. You can never count them out, and they could very well win this game. But Mojo, I just have a feeling about these Bombers. I'm taking Winnipeg, and with all the former Lions connections on that team, I'm pulling for them to go as far as they can go.
Yeah, I'd like to see Biggie take it all the way home, I guess.
And Andrew Harris and some of the other guys that they've signed.
You know, not so much for Andrew Harris now. As they spend years away, you build up a hatred for, as much as I loved Andrew Harris as a Lion, I'm also building up my hatred of Andrew Harris as a Bomber. So eventually it's going to weigh itself out. But I think the Bombers are just, there's something about them. I think they're peaking at the right time of the year.
Yep.
And the Lions game aside, I still think Calgary is going to have some troubles. So like you, I'm going to be going with the Bombers in this one. And I see the Bombers taking it to the Grey Cup.
Well, there you go, folks. That means we're looking at an Ottawa Calgary Grey Cup. this is our last podcast for a couple weeks. As next week, I will be in Edmonton for Grey Cup week. My hope is to take the recorder with me everywhere I go and try and talk to many of the CFL fans in attendance, maybe some CFL personalities if I run into any, and maybe compile a bit of a Grey Cup show when I come back. After that, we'll probably enter our off season and do a show when we think there's enough to talk about, because usually in the off season, news is pretty sparse, but I anticipate a pretty busy off season for Ed Hervey and the BC Lions. So we can count on a couple of off season shows anyway, but we will be taking an extended break at some point to recharge and forget about football for a while. I know personally, I need to do that. We want to thank all of you for listening this year. We've had around 7,000 downloads of the show this year, so it's great to see the support. Thanks as well to all the guests who have taken the time to join us this season. The BC Lions for giving us players when we requested them. People like Lowell Ulrich and Farhan Lalji that have helped us out multiple times over the year, and not only this year, but every year that we've done this podcast. And of course, to all our Canadian Football Network affiliate shows, who come on our show and produce great content of their own. We really appreciate everybody. But most of all, we appreciate you, the listeners, because if you guys aren't listening to the show, there's not much point in me and Mojo talking at each other.
No, it's true, Brian. The greatest gift that a podcast listener can give to their podcast hosts is their time. And so thank you, everybody who took the time to listen to our shows. I got a few things to say, Brian, but I'm going to say them at our last show of the year. So I will save my goodbyes for then. But, another great season of guests and players. Love having Lowell and Farhan on the show. And, looking forward to getting Mr. Buono on the show.
Yes, we'll definitely aim to do that sometime, probably next year. Mojo, happy birthday to you. I know it's your birthday tomorrow, so all the best to you and your birthday.
Thank you, man. 52. 52. Who'd have thought?
Yeah, I'll be joining the 50 Club in just over 2 months here, so looking forward to that. That's it for episode 127. We'd like to remind you this podcast is brought to you in part by AngusReed64.com. If you have an event that you'd like to have a speaker at, check out Angus Reed's work on his site and check out his new book, Thank You Coach, on Amazon.ca and Amazon.com. A big thank you to Angus for stepping up to sponsor the show this year. Make sure to check out all the great shows in the Canadian Football Podcast Network, because, folks, they keep getting better and better. We're proud to be a part of it. Check out CFPodNetwork.com. cfpodnetwork.ca and at cfpodnetwork on Twitter to stay up to date with all the latest shows. Please tell your friends to check us out and make sure you subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast app. Check us out online at bclionsden.ca on Facebook at facebook.com/bclionsden.ca and on Instagram at bclionsden_podcast. That's podcast, PAWDCAST. And of course, follow us on Twitter at bclionsden and at mojocamp. We look forward to talking to you on Twitter and all the social media platforms throughout the offseason. Strap yourselves in for an exciting couple of weeks of football and for sure an exciting offseason for the BC Lions as Ed Hervey continues to put his stamp on this team. On behalf of Mojo Camp and myself, take care of yourselves and, as always, roar, you Lions, roar.
Thanks for listening. Find more great shows like this at CF Pod Network on Twitter.